Tainus per Gimel Mishnaches 3:8. Al kol tsar shelo tavo al tzibor, on any troubles that befall the community. Now the Mishnah says shelo tavo, that doesn't fall, but just the word lo, the negation should be taken out. That's called lashon sagi nohar. It's euphemistic language that says the opposite of what it means. The Mishnah doesn't want to say the troubles befall the community, therefore it says troubles that don't fall. But it should be read and understood as if it says al kol tsara shetavo al tzibor, whatever troubles befall the community, masri and aleha, we blow shofar and include that as the prayer services and the fasting in response. So this would be any serious risk to our physical lives, in the long term, as well as our spiritual lives. Like if you had to be some kind of, you know, gzera and decree from the authorities against keeping Torah, some part thereof. In all these cases, we respond in full, including blowing shofar. Chutz merov geshamim. The exception is too much rain. If there's too much rain, we won't blow shofar and go to such extremes, because although it itself is not great, too much rain is only, at least in Eretz Yisrael, under normal circumstances, just an inconvenience, but actually a risk to life. It's an inconvenience because in the time of Chazal, roads weren't paved, etc. So if everything's flooded and muddied up, it's very difficult to get to and from, to bring your food and your supplies, go to the market, etc. But it's just an inconvenience, however great, and not any worse than that. And therefore, we would not reject the blessing of the rain, if you will, by being masri and blowing shofar, etc. The Gemara explains this is in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a hilly place and the water will run off. But in a place like Bavel, where it's flat and the water would essentially flood everything and perhaps rot foundations of houses, things could collapse and so on, even then too much rain would be a risk to life, and therefore it actually would merit, under those circumstances, even masriya. Now the Mishnah will now give a story, a famous story about Choni HaMagil, which I'll explain in a second, but the point of our story is that at the end of the story too much rain came, and they asked Choni to intercede to stop, and then Choni said, I'm not really agreeable to reject the rain, because the rain is a blessing. But more on that at the end of the story. Here the Mishnah says, Maase, it once happened, She'amru lo l'choni ha-magel, the people approached Choni HaMagel. His name was Choni. HaMagel means the circle maker, and he was called that because of this story, as we'll see in a moment. Choni HaMagel lived in the 1st century BCE, which is important later on. You'll see about that. It's before Herod redid the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, and made into a big platform, as I'll explain in a moment. And this event is happening very late in the season, getting close to Pesach, so at the end of Adar. And already we learned in the first parak, we don't have new fast, like Bahab fasts and so on, at that point for rains, because it's too late in the season. And that's what's happening here, as we'll see also in the Mishnah. And therefore, they didn't get rain, but they needed it, so they asked him essentially to try to pray for a miracle on their behalf. And they said to him, Hispalel sheyirdu geshamim, pray for us that we should get rain. Amar lehem, so he said to them, Choni said to the people, Tzu v'chnisu tanurei psachim b'shvil shelo yamoku. He said, go out and bring in your ovens that you're planning on using to roast your korban Pesach. So you see this is getting close to Pesach time, within 30 days of Pesach, so the end of Adar sometime. And the ovens were made out of clay, unfired, unglazed clay, and heavy rains would actually damage the ovens, and therefore he was saying, bring those furnaces of the ovens in so that they shouldn't get damaged by the rains that are going to fall after I pray. His palel, and then he prayed, v'lo yardu geshamim, but no rains did fall. The Yerushalmi says this was really a consequence of him being lacking the requisite humility in beseeching Hashem, because of course he was like so confident that the rain's going to flood down, he told everyone to bring in the ovens. But Choni wants to act on behalf of the Jewish people and won't take no for an answer. And therefore, Me'asa, what did he do? Ag uga, he drew a big circle. Va'amad besocha, he stood inside that circle, as if he were like in prison, so to speak. Va'amar lafanav, and he said to Hashem, Ribono shel olam, Master of the Universe, Banecha samu fanehem alai, your children are depending upon me. She'ani keven bayis lafanecha, because I am like a ben bayis, like a resident of your home. This is really a reference, if you remember, there's a Gemara in Brachas, I think it's off Zion, that the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had asked Chanina ben Dosa, a different person with the same chet nun chain name, Chanina and Choni, both have the same shorish, meaning chain is like getting what you don't deserve, necessarily, getting extra more than you deserve. Anyways, there's a story where Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai requests from Chanina ben Dosa to pray on his behalf that his son should live, and he succeeds. Chanina ben Dosa succeeds in his prayers, and then Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife is concerned. She says, "Wait a second, you're the God of Lador. Why in the world can he pray and get answered, but you pray and can't get answered?" To which Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai explained to her that he is like a minister who, when he goes to the king, even though he's a minister, he needs to get permission. He can't just walk it into the king's house or private quarters. Whereas like someone who's like a butler who works in the home doing whatever he does to service the king, he comes and goes as he pleases. He just walks in around the house because he like almost lives there. He's a worker there. So that's what we're saying here. The same way that in that Gemara over there, Chanina ben Dosa was like a resident of the king's home, so to speak, and could get access to the king when otherwise the doors are shut. So too, here, Choni Hamagil is saying that he's like a ben bias lefanecha. He's like a member of Hashem's household, meaning that even though the doors are shut to entreaties, and therefore you see they already presumably fasted and prayed 13 fasts over the whole winter and didn't get answered, but Choni Hamagil can get access because he's, so to speak, he's always in Hashem's house, like his servant, and he can get access. So now Choni Hamagil says, Nishba ani, I swear, this is a formal shvua, formal oath, Bishimcha Hagadol, in your name, your great name, She'eni Zaz Mekan, I'm not leaving here. I'm not leaving the circle in which I'm standing. Adje Terachem Al Banecha, until you have mercy on your children and make it rain. Hischilu Geshamim Mitnatfin, so the Mishnah says, it started to drizzle a little bit. Now, the Gemara says that his students said, that's not good enough. It seems that it's only drizzling enough to get you out of your vow, to get you out of the circle, but that's not what we need. Drizzle's not what we need real rain. So Choni says, Choni says to Hashem, Lo kach sha'alti, that's not the kind of rain I asked for. Elegishme boros shichin uma'aros. We need rain that will fill up the water cisterns. Again, bore a round cistern, shiach, a long, skinny one. Ma'ara is like a covered one, rectangular into the side of a cave. The point is the water cisterns to retain water, and we need a lot more than just this drizzle. His chilu leirid bezaaf. So then the rain started to fall with a fury, like as if it were, these gigantic raindrops, each one like a lug, like a half a liter in size, as if it's going to like come and wash out the world. So again, the student said, that's not going to work. It's dangerous. It's not what we need. So Choni says, Lo kach sha'alti, Hashem, that's not what I asked for. Ela gishmei ratzon bracha unadava. What we need is the kind of rain that people want. That's rains of blessing and beneficence, that you're giving to us, not damaging rains. So then, yardu kesiknon. So the rain began to fall now as it ought to rain. So it rained how people want it. It was to their benefit. Everything was good. And, presumably happily ever after. The problem is, it just didn't stop. Ad sheyatzu Yisrael miYerushalayim lahar habayis b'bnei geshamim. Till eventually there was so much rain, like flooding the streets of Jerusalem, that the people in the lower part of the city had to run up to the high ground, meaning on the Har HaBayis, that's like Har HaMoriah, in the way that the topography of Jerusalem is, there's sort of like a mountain in the middle, that's the Har HaBayis. It's hard to see today because of all the construction, and also because it was flattened out in the time of Herod, as I mentioned before, in the first century of the Common Era. But the middle is this mountain, and then there's sort of like a valley all around it, loosely speaking, and then there's hills again around that. But if you live in Yerushalayim, and the valleys around the Har HaBayis, so then all the rain falls off the hilltops and kind of floods your house. And that's what's happening. People have to go to the high ground because there's so much rain falling. So the point is, the rain just didn't stop. And therefore, Bova Amrulo, the people came back to Choni Hamagil, and they said, Kashem shes palalta aleihem sheyerdu, just as you prayed for the rains to fall, kach his palel sheyelchu lehen, please pray that they stop and that they go away because there's so much rain, it's too much. So, Amr lehen, Choni Hamagil says to them, Tzu'uru'u im nimches even hatoim. He said to them, idiomatically, I'll translate literally in a second, he said, "Nope, you can. I'm not doing that. You can never have too much rain." Echoing the sentiment of the beginning of our Mishnah, which was that any trouble that befalls Jewish people, we do panic and cry out to Hashem, but not for rov gesham, not too much rain. Here, what he's referring to literally is, he said, "Go out and see tzu ru'u im nimches, if was dissolved evan hatoim, the rock of the our girsa toim means people who make mistakes. Other girsaros are toen, toenim. Toen is a claim. The point here is, he's referring to a large rock that was in Yerushalayim, which was kind of like the lost and found, and people who found something would bring what they found to that big rock. People who lost things would go to that big rock, and then they were the toim because they were like lost, blundering around looking for their stuff, or toen, they would have to claim their lost goods and give simonim to prove it's theirs and so on. The point is, this big rock, of course, didn't dissolve from the rain, and Chonia Magla is saying, no, you know, it's not catastrophic that you know, just as that rock didn't get dissolved, no one's gonna dissolve. Therefore, I'm not stopping to pray for rain. In echoing the sentiment of our Mishnah. That's the story. Now, there's more to the story than that. The truth is, and this is really how we're going to get to the halacha l'maisa. Although we don't go into crisis mode, masriyan, and blow shofar, and make supplications and all that kind of stuff for the rain, there is something still to be done. We do pray that it should stop. And now, that is reflected a little more in the story as it's filled out in Megillas Tainus. Not in the Gemara we have it, but in Megillas Tainus. We mentioned Megillas Tainus not long ago, and we have the story. And there, that I'll call it a brisa, Megillas Tainus continues on. It says, Choni said to them, Afal Pikein, even so, even though that's true that we don't normally pray because of too much of a good thing, Hevesli Par Hodah, bring me a cow, which will be like a Thanksgiving offering cow. Heviulo, they brought it to him, a Par Hodah, a Thanksgiving cow. Vesamach Shtei Yadav Alav, and he put two hands on it, like a vidui to confess on the cow. Vamar Lefanav, and he said this to Hashem. So you see, he's like backhandedly going to tell Hashem to stop making it rain by thanking Hashem for all the rain. And he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Amchi Yisrael, Shoseitzim Mitzrayim, your nation Israel, who you took out of Egypt, Einan Yechon Lo Barov Tov V'lo Barov Peranios. They can't deal with too much good or too much bad. Ka'asta Aleihem, you got angry at them, because that's the fact that he didn't give rain in the first place. Ein Yechon La'amod. And they couldn't stand up to that trouble of not having rain. Hishpat aleihem, you like drown them in kindness of tova. Ein yichon lamod, but they couldn't stand up to that either. Eli, hi ratzon milfanecha sheyifseku agashem. Maybe your will, Hashem, that the rain stop. V'yehei revach bolam, and let there be space in the world. Revach meaning space, like space to operate, that they're overwhelmed by this. So revach, something like, you know, space, profit, prosperity, you know, some middle ground where people have some degrees of freedom to maneuver. And miyad, immediately, nashva haruach, the wind started to blow, says the Braisa, v'nispazer ha'avim, the clouds scattered, v'zarcha ha'chama, the sun shone, Ve'yetzu ha'am l'sadeh, and the people went out to the field. Ve'viu lehem kamein u'pichot, they gathered lots of truffles and mushrooms. She'yetzu melichluch ha'gashamim, that emerged from all the moisture in the rain. So that's how the happy ending goes of the Braisa, and how Choni Magel actually did pray for the rain to stop, in a way of not rejecting the rain to the tova, but rejecting it was recognizing the goodness of the rain. Now, based on that, the halacha really follows that there are prayers to be said in response to too much rain, halacha l'maisa, and that we do. I'll read to you right now the nusach, the formulation of those prayers. You'll see there are actually two components to it. The first component comes from the story of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who would pray on Yom Kippur on behalf of the Jewish people, and His prayer is the first part of this bracha, that Hashem's midah v'rachamim should overwhelm his other midos. So in the second half will be the choni, like a derivation of the, you know, based on the choni hamagel prayer. So here the nusach is, the prayer that we say is, Yiratzo milfanecha, may be your will Hashem Elokeinu, God our God, Elokei Avoseinu, and God of our forefathers, Sheyich b'shu rachamecha es ka'ascha, Your mercy should overwhelm your anger. Again, this is Rabbi Shmuel's prayer. V'yigilu rachamecha al midosecha. And your primary attribute should that over the other ones should be mercy. V'tisnaheg im banecha b'midas rachamecha. And your conduct with your children should be through this attribute of mercy. V'tikanes lehem lifnim mishura sadin. And treat them like above and beyond the letter of the law, meaning more than they deserve. Uvatuvcha hagadol, and through your great kindness, rachem aleihem, have mercy on them. She'ein puranios bololam, that no retribution and suffering should come to the world. Ele bishvil Yisrael, because you recognize it only comes because of what we do. V'hem amcha, they're your people. Unachlascha, and your inheritance, your legacy, your heritage. Asher hotzeisim me'eretz Mitzrayim, who you took out of Egypt. Now you see we're segueing into the prayer of Choni Amagel. Ve'einim yicholim lekabel lo rov ra'av lo rov tova. They're not able to receive too much bad or too much good. Hishpa'ata aleihem rov tova. You've now like overwhelmed them, flooding them with too much good. Einim yicholim lekabel. We just can't absorb it all up. Ka'asta aleihem. If you got angry at them also, we wouldn't be able to be, deal with that. Let it be your will, that there should be space and plenty in the world, and recall your mercy. And that is the prayer that we say. And that'll be the halacha l'maaseh in case of too much geshamim. But in other problems outside of too much rain, we do respond as appropriate, and both for, as I said before, physical or spiritual dangers, even including shofar blowing and everything aside from that as well. Now, the Mishnah does have a PS, and that is, it says, Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, who was one of the two Zugos, the leaders of Klal Yisrael in their generation there in the first century BCE, he sent the following message to Choni. Ilmale Choni ata. If it weren't for the fact that you were Choni, meaning you are such an extraordinary person and known to be so, and therefore sort of you're exceptional as opposed to anybody else, gozrini lecha nidui. For that kind of behavior, I would decree upon you excommunication, because you can't start making these theatrics and trying to boss Hashem around, so to speak. Avamasa lecha, but what can I do to you? Sh'ata mischat lefnei hamakom, because you, like, kfetch in front of Hashem, va'os lecha ratzoncha, and yet he does your will, he does what you ask. Kebenshu mischata al aviv va'os lo ratzono. Like a kid who's kfetching in front of his father, and the father doesn't want to give what the kid wants, but the kid keeps on kfetching, and the father gives in. Balecha kasav omer, and upon you, the verse is written, this is the verse in Mishlei, Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Hei, yismach avicha ve'imecha, your father and mother should rejoice, v'sagel yoreticha, and, you know, and the one who gave birth to you should be jumping for joy that they have someone as extraordinary as you with that kind of relationship with Hashem.